I thought long and hard about the sermon. Pastor asked me to kind of stand up here and knock the rust off, maybe. God started speaking to me about love. And it just built and built. And I studied. And how he brought everything together is amazing. Two things I want to say this morning. I mentioned Vacation Bible School just a little bit. All that hard work and all of the weariness that went into that and all of the people who came together as one body with Jesus Christ being the head. One little child that I know of made a profession of faith during that Vacation Bible School. I don't care what the cost. I don't care what or how tired we were. And thank you all for the effort that went into it. But I'm standing here before you to tell you that a little girl named Tali understood that she was a sinner in need of Jesus. So all of your effort, and I thank you from the deepest part of my heart, that little girl, well, now somebody will come along and water that seed that was planted, and that God may use her in his service forever. Thank you all again for Vacation Bible School, because if you take nothing from it, take the joy and the happiness and the love that one little girl heard the words, felt the effort that was put forth, and came to know Jesus Christ. Amen. The second thing, this morning we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the chapter of love. I'm going to read this morning from the King James, the Scofield edition, but I'm going to have my preaching in ESV. So you may see a little bit of a difference, but I just love my old Scofield. But I'm telling you, the older I get, the harder it is to read, though. But what a reference Bible it truly is. And the ESV, when I came here, the pastor was reading ESV, and I had an ESV Bible. And I don't care what version, as long as you read it. Just read it. And God will give the increase. But the ESV, the King James just flows, and it's so poetic. But the ESV, it does. It's easier for me to understand the older I get. So this morning, and then I'll get to the second thing. Chapter 13, starting with verse 3. The Bible says this, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long, and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But wherever there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Dropping down to verse 13 now. "And now love, or now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Let us pray. Father, again we come. Father, we thank you for the love that you have bestowed upon us here. Lord, that this congregation, Lord, has gathered to give back a little love unto you for the love that you have showed us. Father, we do pray that you will take these words this morning. Lord, open ears and open hearts. And Lord, allow the true words of God to be spoken. Father, we need your love more than anything now. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. The second thing when I talked about love. And I'm only going to spend 30 seconds on this. I'm not going to get into the politics. But folks, this country needs love more today than it has since I've been born. There is such dissension. There is such hatred. And that is nothing more than Satan himself driving a wedge into what God created. Pray for this country. Pray for the leaders. I don't care what side of the aisle that you're on. Just pray that the peace and the knowledge of God truly flows into each and every heart. Because as I studied love and then watched what happened last night, I thought, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to bring forth the love of Jesus Christ to a world that is hurting. Verse 3 says this, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. It is all for naught. You have to have love. Miss Rose and I have often talked, without love, what do you have? You don't have a marriage. You don't have your children close to you. You don't have your grandbabies. You don't have friends. You have to love. And in this sermon today, we will uncover truly what love means. And the love that God gave us through His Son, Jesus Christ. This love that I'm talking about is an act of the will. You have to do something in order to achieve it. Love involves the heart. It involves the mind and the will. Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it was the same 2,000 years ago as it is today. When you accept Him and know and realize that you're in trouble, and that you need Him to lead you and guide you in this world, the same Holy Spirit that came upon those in the days of Pentecost is the same Spirit that will indwell in you until the day the Lord Jesus Christ calls you home. That's love. That's agape love. That is love that you have to give something for. And God our Father gave all that He had. He gave His only begotten Son. He loved us that much. I don't care who you are, what walk of life you come from. When Christ went to the cross, His arms are wide open. It was there for all to take in. And that Holy Spirit today that gifts us with love. It is truly a love of God. It is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And what this verse says, no matter what you try to do on your own, if it's not about love and the love of God, it's all for naught. Matthew 6:1 tells us this, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. So many people today think that they're pulling the wool over people's eyes. Folks, we're all adults. Children have been in church. They understand the Word of God. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. Any time that you take God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and replace them with me, myself, and I, you're setting yourself up for failure. It does not work that way. Anything that man has touched from the beginning, he's ruined. Need I go back to the Garden of Eden? It's that serious. And it's more serious today, I think, this. Through technology, it's so easy to get sidetracked. But the one thing that will always stay true in your heart is love. It comes from the heart. Your heart is changed from an old piece of hard rock, granite, be whatever it is, to when the blood of Jesus Christ touches that heart, it makes it full of love. Hold on to that love. Cherish that love. Let love flow from you. And it's hard. There's people in this world that will definitely try your patience. But let the love of God flow from you, because that may be the only Jesus that they see that day. They could be ugly and mean and nasty to you, but you love them back. Family members. We all have family, yes? Family's tough. I call it family dynamics. And we've all got it. There's trouble. There's loved ones in our family that we would do whatever it takes to get them saved. That's love. Don't ever give up on them. Continue to pray. Oh, I just am at the end of my rope. I can't go on. Show love. If you haven't talked to them for a while, pick up the phone. Give them a call. Tell them how much you love them. The same children, the same brothers and sisters that maybe you played with when you were a child. Remember those days. Remember the good. Don't let evil come in. There's no place for it. Only love should fill our hearts. And if you push love in, all the old Satan stuff purges out. Again, Matthew 6:1 says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. They'll see right through you." In order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. If you do things just to get a pat on the back, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You're doing it for self. You're doing it for me. You're doing it for I. And you're not allowing God to get his glory. Just stay humble. Let love flow from you. And God will reward those who are loving and kind and merciful. It's coming, folks. Our reward is not here upon this earth. It's in heaven. Verse 4 says, love is patient and kind. It's long-suffering. That's having or showing patience in spite of troubles, especially those caused by other people. Some people are just hard to love. Ask my wife. That's right. I have my moments. But God gifted me with a woman who has been a helpmate to me for almost 50 years. And I thank God every day for her. Because I don't know where I would be without a helpmate to walk through this pathway of life. I don't know. Wow, I'd probably be dead. Probably be somewhere other than this pulpit this morning. But God brought us together. He brought us together in love. And he has held us together. Cherish what you have. Don't envy for something somebody else has. Enjoy the moment that you have. Live each day to the fullest. And let God be the head of all things. All other things will fall off. It doesn't matter as long as God is the head. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." It's important. Hardest words. I forgive you. I forgive you. If you allow evil to take root in your body, it becomes a root of bitterness. And somebody along the way is going to have to take an axe and cut that root out. And the more and the harder you've all been around, the more you dig at the root of something, the bigger it is, the longer you let it grow. Oh, I hate that tree. Oh, I hate that tree. I need to take that tree. 10 years down, I should have moved that tree a long time ago. Well, wait till you take the axe to the root to get rid of it. It's the same way with hate in our heart. Do not allow the root of bitterness to take root in your heart. You'll be the one who will sit up at night thinking, oh, while the other person that you're holding this evil against is probably sleeping like a log. You've got to be careful. That's the reason you study the Word of God. It is full of wisdom and knowledge. It will guide you on your daily walk. You have to hold on to the love. Let the evil go. Verse 4 goes on to say, love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or puffed up. Galatians 5:26 tells us, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. It's hard sometimes. You see, you've worked your whole life and you see other people have things that you want. But if you just stop long enough to count your blessings, God has given you life up to that point. And if you belong into the family of God, the things that He has waiting for us, our minds can't even comprehend. That's eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. It's coming, folks, for those of us who believe. Those of us who take advantage of the love that Jesus Christ poured out upon that cross. Love. A four-letter word that means everything. Verse 5 says, or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Again, Romans 12:9 reminds us of Christian fellowship. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. That's what I was meaning about Vacation Bible School. You want to see love? Come out and see these children. Come out and see these folks who takes time out of their week to make sure that these children are taken care of. Folks, that's love. That's not conceited love. That's not puffed up love. That's genuine love that you're caring about these children. Not only should we care about these children, but we should care about this family of God that God has Himself has brought together. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of us look not only to his or her own interest, here's the hard part, but to the interest of others. Put somebody else ahead of your own wants. Think about that for a little bit. Yeah, but. How many times have we gone along and talked about yeah, but? I've often told people, one of these days I'm going to make a sermon, but I don't know if I'll have enough paper, on the big buts in the Bible. Yeah, but, no. Well, I would come to church, but. Folks, there's nothing like the present time to put your heart in the right order. And that order begins with love. If you don't believe me, look what's going on around us. This is a terrible time to raise children. It's a wonderful, exciting time to raise children. But because of technology that God has granted to mankind, you got to be careful. There's so many things out there that provoke and encourage hate. And that is nothing more than Satan himself. I joke at times, especially with sound guys, what a job they do. And it's so funny. I saw a picture yesterday of a t-shirt about sound guys. Said that you really don't pay any attention to them until something goes wrong. Isn't that the way of our lives, even in church? You don't know that somebody is doing something behind the scenes until it's no longer done. Then it's like, well, why, you know, as we sit here this morning and read the bulletins, if you've ever had any involvement with a bulletin, you know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Bruce. Because Miss Rose and I did bulletins. And it's tough. And I love people who step out. And that's just one example. Bringing in food for the snack time. That's love. And especially when I looked at those chocolate-covered strawberries. Wow. And I'm thinking, no, you don't need any more excitement in your life this morning. But folks, it's about love. It's not about the world. This world is going to pass away. But love remains. Look out for one another. Take the time to ask somebody something that's important in their life, not in your life. How could I help you today? How can I? Oh, here's a good one. How can I pray for you today? Pray for me every day. Because I am nothing more than a sinner saved by the grace of God. And I need prayer. Verse 6 says, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Love does not rejoice in sin. There's no place for love and sin to be together. Romans 3:23, and we are all here. We're all in the same spot. We are all plagued with this sin. Remember the Garden of Eden? Sin. Romans 3:23 tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us. And I've often told people, I think I did this in Sunday school, if you don't think that sin, that you have sinned from birth, God has been so good. First off, I want to praise God for giving Miss Rose and I 5 grandchildren. And the ability to watch these little cookie-eating curtain climbers grow up because they're full of energy. Listen. Children are loud. They're expensive. They're messy. And I love them all. What a blessing it is to be around children. It reminds you that nothing replaces youth. And I am so thankful that God has allowed us to see these children grow up. But if you don't think for a moment that sin entered into this world, think of that little baby that's maybe 2 or 3 months old. Little guy or gal that all at once decides that they're hungry and they've got a dirty diaper. And that rage that comes out of them is nothing more than just sin. A little innocent baby, picture that. And picture how bad sin is. Because that little rage that little package of joy has, let that all at once be 6'4" and 280 pounds. And you'll see and understand what sin is. Sin has entered into mankind. And God does not want that. He wants love. And praise our Lord that one day, there is coming a day, I can't wait, that we will no longer have to deal with sin. It will be wiped away. And there will be absolutely nothing in this time with our Lord but love. Think about that. We get little tiny glimpses of it occasionally, and it fills our heart full of joy. I've often told our pastor, and folks, let me just say this before I lose my train of thought. To be blessed with that man of God is truly a blessing. For a man as young as he is to be full of the Lord and to have the knowledge and the wisdom that he has, I learn something every day from this man. I tell him on Sunday nights, we need to invest in a new clock. One that you can go, and it jumps back 5 minutes. So we can just keep on going. Cherish what we have. Cherish this family. Because not only from the pastor, it also comes from that family. I got to tell you one more thing. Brother Don caused this, but I don't feel bad because he's a very well-educated man. Rabbit trails, rabbit holes. Miss Rose used to caution me, honey, you're going down this rabbit hole. When I came to this church, walked through that door, Miss Rose and I had come out here. We'd left our church family. There was emptiness. We were missing something. So we had visited churches. Now, being a hillbilly from the old mountains back east didn't hurt. When I got on this website and saw that Miss Melody and Pastor were from back east. From the hills back east. Which is good. We talked and said, you know, let's just go. You know, we'd visit a couple places, and you know, you probably all at one time or another visited churches. Yeah, this is good, this is good. When I walked through that door, I felt love. Without love, there's nothing. I felt love. I was greeted multiple times. Had a wonderful evening service. As she and I started out that door, we got into the parking lot. Hearts were full of joy, but it wasn't overflowing. But it was there. We knew that there was something special here. In these trees out here, there were two little tree climbers. Jonathan and Charlotte. And as we walked by them, I'll still remember what Jonathan said. I'll never forget it. Jonathan looked at us. He says, y'all come back now, you hear? That joy that was here, poof. I got it. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. If you have love, and that was love. A little fella and a little gal cared so much that they invited us back to church. I love other people in this church. But listen, little children, it goes a long way. When they say, y'all come back now. That's West Virginia hillbilly. That struck it. That was so good. But it's been that way in this church. It's full of love. People that I've talked to have felt that. People that come have felt that. Folks, no amount of money in the world can give you that joy that love gives you. I knew I had something else, but I don't remember now. Verse 6 goes on to say, but rejoice with the truth. This world is full of lies. It's full of lies, full of lies. What we need is more truth and less world. This reminds me how close Pontius Pilate was to the truth. Let me read what John 18:38 says. Pilate said to him, talking to Jesus, what is truth? After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. Do you know why that is? Because Jesus Christ showed the same love to Pilate as he did for us. Jesus died or was going to the cross to die for Pilate. He loved Pilate as much as he loved us. Pilate was this close. Now, this is above my pay grade, but I do know that after the crucifixion, we don't hear any more about Pilate. I don't know what happened to him. But I do believe through what I read and the way that he acted, he was this close to understanding what truth is. What true love is. Because the one who showed love was standing there in front of him, directly in front of him. And he chose to go the opposite way. Bruce talked a little bit to these children this morning. I like oatmeal if they're in those no-bake cookies. That's what I'm talking about. So yeah, I like oatmeal too. But he also said something that rings to all of us. Everything in our lives is about choices and consequences. I don't care who you are or what the choice you're about to make. It'll have two results. It'll either be good or it'll be bad. That's life. Nothing in this Bible says that life is fair. God gives us common sense, and he gives us his word of God for guidance. You should read this, and you should apply it to your lives. Because in the end, of all the choices that we make, there's only one that really matters. And that's the choice that says, you're either with Jesus or you're with Satan. Nothing else matters. That's the choices. But life is full of choices. Be careful. Search the scripture. Pray. We talked about this in the men's breakfast yesterday. What a good time of fellowship to come out, break bread, to have fun. And anybody that believes that you can't have fun in the house of God, I don't know where you get that at. I don't know. This is family. And I love to be with family. And I love to laugh and to have a good time. But I really love my Jesus. In John 14, Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one, comes to the Father except through him. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. All you have to do is open the door. He'll take care of the heavy lifting. He's done it already. Open the door. And he'll come in and sup with you. That's the Lord that we serve, that we love. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to quote two men in verses 7 and 13 that I read and respect their teachings. I do. I really do. One of them is J. Vernon McGee. One of them is John MacArthur. But I'm going to tell you something. They're men just like we are. They're human beings just like all of us. I don't agree with everything they say, but I'm going to tell you who is the ultimate authority. That when I'm troubled, after I read what other people may have said or suggested, this Holy Bible contains everything that we need to know. If God himself came down and sat on this front row, which he will not, because we already know how it's all going to be played out. But if he did, there's that big but again. He wouldn't say anything to us that's not already written in this book. Think about that. He's already written and given us this book. For our guidance, for our knowledge, for our wisdom, for this pathway of life. Verse 7 says this, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. J. Vernon McGee tells us this, love bears all things, bears. Think about that, bears. Bears has the thought of protection. Love puts up an umbrella for others. Love believeth all things. That does not mean that love is foolishly credulous. It doesn't mean that. It does mean that love does not regard people with suspicion. Love hopeth all things. Oh, the optimism, he says, of love. It endures all things. Love remains strong through testing. Have you ever been tested? Probably all of us in here at one time or another has been tested since we have given our lives to Jesus Christ. It'll strengthen you. The testing from God will strengthen you. It'll make you better. Verse 8, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it too will pass away. Ephesians 3:17 through 19 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Let God fill you up. When God fills you up, all of the impurities of the earth, there's no room for them. Jesus says, I am the light. What chases away darkness? Walk into a dark room. What's the first thing you do? You turn on the light. Where did the darkness go? It flees. Jesus is the light of the world. Cling to Him and darkness will leave you alone. It doesn't mean that you won't have trials. But at that darkest moment in your life, call upon the light of the world and He will give you strength. That's love. That's the love that God has for us. Verse 13 says this. So now, faith. Faith is the substance of hearing and the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. That sums up faith. Hope. Hope is this. To cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or to be true. Faith and hope. And love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. John MacArthur tells us this. He sums up love with this. The objects of faith and hope will be fulfilled. They will be made whole. They'll be complete. Faith and hope. Our faith in Jesus Christ, our hope for things to come, they will be made full. And perfectly realized in heaven. But love, he goes on to say, the God-like virtue is everlasting. Heaven will be the place for the expression of nothing but, get this, perfect love toward God and one another. It doesn't get any better than love. Let me close with this. All I've talked about today is love. If you come into this church building and don't feel love, that's on you, because love is here. You just have to open yourself up. And I know it's hard. There has been times that we've been hurt. Every human being at one time or another has been hurt, cut to the quick, by people whom we thought loved us. You gotta love. You gotta love. You gotta let it flow in. You gotta forgive. You got to understand what it took to go to that cross. We read in the book of how things led up to this cross and what our Lord endured because He loved us. But Isaiah says this. Isaiah 25:8-9. And this sums it up. Listen to me. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. I don't care who you are. He will wipe the tears. If you are His child, He will wipe your tears away. And the reproach of His people, He will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. Verse 9 says, it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him that He might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. Let us be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Let us pray. Father, thank You again for Your love. Thank You, Lord, for this congregation. Thank You for just how You watch care over us and protect us. Lord, continue to guide us. Continue to lead us along this pathway of life. Father, let all that is said and done here, Lord, let us rejoice with You in it. Father, again, I just mentioned this ordination time. Father, be with them. Be with our pastor. Give him safe travel mercies as he comes back to us, to his family. And Lord, again, thank You for the children. Father, thank You for the ability to take time to the knowledge that You've given us to allow us to read Your word. And Father, let us truly be filled with love and purge the hate. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.